Welcome back. Looks like we're going to finish up Jeremiah today. And if we're going to do that, I'm going to jump in because I certainly don't have enough left over to do an entire program to finish it up. Just reading through the judgments against Babylon here. And I see that so much of America in the description of Babylon, just that every man is brutish by his knowledge, every founder is confounded by the graven images, whatever idolatry, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Yes, America personifies Babylon, and certainly is a part of the mystery Babylon that the Revelator says will be pronounced in the end. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Yes, so such great riches gone in 1 hour. So mystery Babylon is alive and well, and will be alive and well until our Messiah sets his feet on the earth, until the kingdom of God, like a mountain, comes and strikes the image of mystery Babylon in the feet. Let's continue here in Jeremiah. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. We're in chapter 51 and verse 18. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel's the rod of his inheritance. Yahuwah hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapon of war, for with thee I break in pieces the nations, and with thee I destroy kingdoms. And with thee I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee I break in pieces old and young, and with thee I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee I will break in pieces captains and rulers, and I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea and all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith Yahuwah. Behold, I am against the old destroying mountain, saith Yahuwah, which destroyest all the earth, and I will stretch out my hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks. I will make thee a burnt mountain, and they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for the foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. You set up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Meni, and Ashkenaz, appoint a captain against her, and cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the lands of his dominion. And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as woman. They have burned in her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show that the king of Babylon, that his city is taken at one end, and the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are frightened. For thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor in its time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. And of course, yet a little while from the time of Jeremiah was somewhere between 70 and 100 years that this would come to pass. Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 51, verse 34. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me, and hath crushed me, and hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicacies. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. shall the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry, and Babylon shall become heaps and a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and a hissing without inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions, they shall yell as lions' whelps. At their heat I will make their feasts, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice, and sleep a perpetual sleep, and not awake, saith the Lord. I will bring down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with the he-goats. How is Shishak taken, and how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, and a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. I will punish Bel in Babylon. I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people shall go out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man to soul from the fierce anger of Yahuwah. And lest your heart faint, and you fear the rumor that that shall be heard in the land, a rumor shall become 1 year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. And the heavens and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoiler shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still, remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon shall mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord has spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice. When her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered, because the spoilers come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for Yahuwah, God of recompenses, shall surely requite. And I will make drunk her princes, and her wise men, her captains, and her rulers, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake, saith the King, whose name is Yahuwah of hosts. Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall utterly be broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah the son of Babylon, the son of Neriah, the son of Masaiah, when he went to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, unto Babylon in the fourth year of his reign, and Seraiah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in the book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all the words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when thou comest to Babylon, and shall see, and shall read all these words, then shall thou say, O Lord, O Yahuwah, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon it. Her and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Chapter 52 and verse 1. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out. And through the anger of Yahuwah came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from there, from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about, so the city was besieged, unto the 11th year of the king of Zedekiah. And in the 4th month, in the 9th day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that no bread was found for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And all his army was scattered from him. And they took the king, and carried him up unto the king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also all the princes of Judah in Riblah. And he put out the eyes of Zedekiah the king of Babylon, bound him in chains, and carried him in unto Babylon, and put him into prison till the day of his death. Now in the 5th month of the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and burned the house of Yahuwah, the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and all the houses of the great men, burned he with fire, and all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard, broke down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor of the people, and the residue of the people remained in the city. And those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon, the rest of the multitude. But Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, left certain poor of the land for vine dressers and husbandmen. Also the pillars of brass that were in the house of Yahuwah, the brass and the brazen sea, that was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke and carried all the brass of them to Babylon. The cauldrons also, the shovels, the snuffers, the bowls, the spoons, and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered, they took away. And the basins and the fire pans and the bowls and the cauldrons and all the candlesticks and the spoons and the cups, that which was of gold in gold, and that which was of silver in silver, they took the captain of the guard away. The two pillars, the one sea, the 12 brazen bowls that were under the bases which King Solomon had made in the house of the Lord, the brass and all the vessels was without weight. And concerning the pillars, the weight of one pillar was 18 cubits, and a fillet of 12 cubits did compass it, and the thickness thereof was 4 fingers. It was hollow. And a chapter of the brass was upon it, and the height of one chapter was 5 cubits. The network of pomegranates upon the chapiters around about all of the brass. The second pilsner was also the pomegranates were like unto these. And these were 96 pomegranates on one side, and all the pomegranates upon the network were 100 round about. The captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and three keepers of the door. He took also out of the city a eunuch, which had the charge of the men of war, and seven men of them were men of the king's person, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, who mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land were found in the midst of the city. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and put them to death in Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive out of his own land. This and the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive in the seventh year, 3,000 Yahudi and 23. So 3,060, 3,023. There you go. Men were carried away captive into Babylon that lived. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews, or Yahudi, as it says in Hebrew, 745 persons, and all the persons were 4,600. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year, the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 5 and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and brought him forth out of the prison, and spoke kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. For his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. And thus ends the book of Jeremiah and his prophecies with the carrying away of the children of Israel into Babylon. And for those of you who were not with me, I would advise you to pick up from this point on with the book of Daniel. And you can see what happened to the children of Israel in Babylon, and how Daniel was of the captivity of the children of Israel. And Daniel, we need more Daniels today, because basically America has been taken captive in its own land. I mean, where would they carry us to? The rulers of the earth, those that rule in the affairs of men, that our Heavenly Father has given charge, in much the same way he gave a charge to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, an ungodly man, a proud man who never bowed the knee to the creator of heaven and earth. But he was the sword of Yahuwah. And I see great wisdom in the way our Heavenly Father carries about his business in the earth and carries about his purpose and uses those nations as his sword that he uses. And those that rule in the earth today, well, they are not a nation. They are not like Babylon. They cannot be confined to a locale on the earth. But he has wisely given the control of money in the earth and over the whole earth to those that love money and worship money more than anything. And I know most people probably go, "What are you talking about, Nicholas? What is the wisdom in giving to those the rulership over money in the earth, to those that worship money, that worship mammon?" Well, there is a profound wisdom in that, and our Heavenly Father, I'm not sure I can completely articulate exactly what that wisdom is, but somehow in my spirit I can see it, that those who love money have charge of money. And of course their pride is puffed up by that money, but they are only an instrument in the hand of our God to punish nations, to bring slavery upon the peoples of America who have forgotten their God. Because is not America now totally in slavery? Have not all of the land of America now been mortgaged? To who? To the kings of the monetary system of the earth. And who really is the king of the monetary system of the earth but that Antichrist? And you may not believe, you may say, well, this or that man is the Antichrist. And I say, well, the Antichrist is a seat. And it is a seat that is occupied by a man, and of course occupied by different men throughout history. And of course we know that the Antichrist, in the end, we know that the Antichrist ends up with all of the mortgages, of even the mortgages of men's souls. Because really, when you mortgage something, what is a mortgage? A mortgage is something, well, you take the word apart. Mortify, mortification, mortality. Mort refers to death. Gauge, well, everyone knows what a gauge is. It's something that you use to measure. So you have something that is measured until death. That's what a mortgage is. It's something that is measured until death. What's measured till death? What is measured until mortality? What is our enemy interested in? He's interested in your life until it ends. He wants it all. And that's what a mortgage represents. Your life and your labor. Your soul has been sold. That's right. You've sold your souls for mammon. That's what a mortgage is. You can deny it all you want, but that's exactly what it is. And what do they trade in the end? In the souls of men. You are owned. That's right. You are owned. Now, our Heavenly Father, He has mercy upon slaves. He has mercy upon those that have fallen into slavery by birth, by ignorance, by famine, by just plain, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, just by the occurrence of nature, whatever. People have fallen into debt, and some haven't mortgaged their lives. As you could see in the past, men sold themselves into slavery for debt. Isn't that the same thing? We just changed the way it looks today. We don't call it slavery today. And those great money masters, those great mortgage masters, well, they have learned that it is more convenient to keep the slaves on the land rather than have to house them and feed them. Let them work. Let them have a portion of their labor to house and feed themselves. Nothing has changed. So we know who ends up with the mortgages. It is the Antichrist. And in the end, whenever that time comes, 50 years, 150 years, 200 years from now, we know there will come a time when He will require every man, woman, and child to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead. No, that doesn't mean a verichip. I can hold a card in my hand with a number, and I could say, I have His mark in my hand. Oh, and if I drop the card or lose it, I could say, well, I remember it because it's in my forehead. That's right. Because the word in is epi, as in epidermis. If it was under the skin, as an implant, it would be hypo, as in hypodermis. And that ends our study for today. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll see you all next time. And as always, in everything you say and do, hallelujah. Praise His holy name.